All right, this morning I want to talk about a subject which some probably will not appreciate, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to talk about the empty pew. And as we go through this, you'll understand why we have to talk about this. See, I'm going to speak on a subject that some will disagree with me. When one preaches the truth, there is a lot of disagreement by many people. We know that when we preach the plan of salvation, a lot of people out in the world disagree with that. They don't like hearing that. And so there's always that way. It's addressing a problem that affects many congregations around the world. In fact, everybody has this problem. If you have a fishing club, you have people that have this problem. They made the commitment, says, yes, I'm going to be there, and they don't show up. It's been suggested these are only opinions, and you can treat them as opinions, or you can entreat them as instructions from the Bible. We'll leave that to you. But as a preacher of the gospel, I feel it is my duty to present to you what the Bible has to say on this subject. What you do with that is up to you. As we've said many times, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can show people the truth, but you can't make them do anything. So keep that in mind as we go along through this. Okay. I'm not speaking in this lesson about the pew that is empty due to physical sickness, injury, travel, work, or unforeseen circumstances. And that covers a lot. I mean, we can understand those things. I'm speaking of the pew that is empty due to spiritual sickness or lukewarmness. And I'm speaking of the pew that is empty due to someone saying, in effect, I have more important things to do than to assemble with the saints. This thing's not cooperating very well. I'm speaking of the pew that is empty not because someone's plans to be sitting in it backfired, but because someone did not plan to be sitting in it. So I and others have heard all sorts of justifications for being absent from the services. And yes, there's many of them. And we're going to look at this because it is frustrating. Sometimes it is. Because it is a discouragement. The empty pew is not silent. Keep that in mind. It's just like our actions. We can talk all we want, but our actions speak louder than our words. And so the action of the empty pew is not silent. In fact, it screams a great deal about the quality of some of the Lord's people and some of the Lord's churches. The empty pew does not sing. The empty pew does not pray. The empty pew does not edify. It does not teach or exhort. And we know we're supposed to come together to do that. See, the empty pew is a discouragement to other members. See, it reflects an indifference and lack of concern for spiritual goals. You know, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit gave us first apostles and prophets and teachers, and then for the building up of the body of itself in love. We're supposed to be building each other up all the time. We have the command to build each other up. And that's what we are supposed to do in the church. And each member is supposed to do their part. If that member is not here, they are not doing their part. And our goals for assembling together for the worship of God ought to be the highest. We're praising God. We've already thanked God this morning for providing us salvation, providing us His Son to die upon the cross for us. And we've been singing praises to His name. And so, yes, we have the highest goals when we worship together. And so the question is, why do we assemble? Well, some people really... It seems like some people say the reason we assemble is to fulfill our command to meet with the saints. If that's your attitude, you got the wrong one. That's not right. We assemble because we want to, not because we have to. And so the question is, why are you here today? Why are you here this morning? And are you here to edify and to be edified? And I think everybody in this room would say yes to that answer. But the empty pew says, I don't want to edify or to be edified. Okay, it's just not working right this morning. Hopefully we're here because we want to grow spiritually. See, the empty pew says, I don't need to develop myself spiritually. We're supposed to be here. We're supposed to be able to build ourselves up to acquire more knowledge in God's Word. And it's really a sad thing that so many really do not know their Bibles like they should. I mean, I read an article this week and it really disturbed me, talking about how rampant the idea of biblical illiteracy is, even among Christians. People who call themselves Christians, they go to church all the time, but yet they don't know their Bibles like they should. And really, honestly, we all should say we don't know the Bible like we should, and we need to learn more of it. We need to do that. Several polls have suggested people don't even know how to put the Bible in chronological order. Some of them don't know that the Old Testament goes before the New Testament. Some don't do that. And so, we need to understand these things. We need to grow. And the empty pew says, I don't want to grow. I don't care about growing. I don't care about developing myself spiritually. Now, the question is, are you here out of concern for the body of Christ? What does the empty pew say? I'm not concerned for the church. And that's what it says. Okay, are you here because you want to prepare yourself to help save the lost? That's why we're supposed to come together, to learn how to do that. How to go out and take the gospel out to others. How to share the gospel. First thing we need to do is learn the gospel and practice the gospel and live the gospel. Then we can teach the gospel. We should be doing that. But the empty pew says, I'm not concerned about the saving of a soul. Are you here because you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah, everybody in this room wants to go to heaven, right? If I ask for a show of hands, everybody would raise their hand. I want to go to heaven. But the empty pew says, I don't know for sure that I even want to go to heaven. See, the empty pew reflects unwillingness to sacrifice. See, these are some basic attitudes towards sacrifice. We know that we need to make sacrifices. And we need to give of ourselves. We need to deny ourselves. And we need to put ourselves in a lower place than God. God should come first. And that's an advertisement for next week. We're going to talk about priorities. And when Jesus said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, he didn't say when it's convenient. He said, make that the most prioritized thing in your life. So we'll talk about that next week. And some will only sacrifice that which they cannot use for anything else. As we read from our scripture reading, they bring sacrifice to the Lord. Well, I can't use this blind creature. I can't use this diseased creature, this blemished creature. But God never asked for that, did he? No, God always asks for our best. And when we give him our best, God is pleased. Can we say that we're giving God our best when we don't show up and to learn, to spend time with other saints and to build each other up? So really, thus their pews are empty, which says, sorry, God, I have something more important to do. All right, the empty pew is a discouragement to preachers. It really is. And so I'll focus on myself for just a moment here. See, Elijah went through a period of discouragement. Romans 11:1-4, the apostles talked about that. He was very discouraged. He thought everybody was out to get him. Everybody hated him because he told them the truth. And Elijah was very discouraged, said, I'm all by myself, woe is me. But then the Lord had to remind him, there's 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal in Israel. And so he wasn't alone, although he felt like it. You know, this is the onset of depression. This can happen to a preacher when they feel that, well, nobody likes what I have to say, and they get discouraged. Elijah felt betrayed by others because they abandoned him. And other preachers have done that. Jeremiah went through several times where he thought he was abandoned and left to rot or to be killed. Paul, at the end of his life, he says, several people have forsaken me. They've gone their own way. And can you imagine how Jesus felt when they came to arrest him? All of his disciples just scattered and ran away. Only one of them hung around close enough to see what was going on. And even then, he kept his distance. So this is how a gospel preacher feels when he sees empty pews where there should be members sitting. And gospel preachers have a right to feel a sense of betrayal when those who are supposed to be Christians in the community intentionally and willfully neglect the service of the Lord and the support of faithful gospel preaching. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The empty pew is a discouragement to potential Christians. Think about this for a minute, and this is important. See, it's a serious matter to neglect and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ to oneself. And that's what we teach, right? It's do not reject Jesus. Do what Jesus tells you to do if you want salvation. Hebrews 2, verse 1 talks about do not neglect this. And we have several places in Hebrews where he says, do not neglect this salvation which we have. And so people do that. But we have to be very careful that we don't do that. And it's even more serious to cause others to neglect and reject it. Luke 17, Jesus said, yeah, there's going to be sin. There's going to be temptation all the time. It's going to come on people and give them the opportunity to sin. But he says, woe unto the one who causes these ones to sin. It'd be better for them to have a stone tied around their neck and cast into the sea. Jesus doesn't like it when we are a discouragement to others. As Christians, we are to be an encouragement to all, whether they are Christians, whether they are non-Christians. And so how can you teach a person that they need to put God and Jesus first in their life when you demonstrate that you don't? See, the child of God who chooses not to assemble is not only neglecting and rejecting the great salvation that is in Christ Jesus, but is also causing others to do so by their example. See, Acts 13, there's a fellow, a sorcerer by the name of Elymas. He was a magician, and people were afraid of him. And Paul was preaching, and some people were paying attention, and they wanted to hear what Paul was saying, and they were showing signs that they were believing what Paul was saying. Elymas threatened them. And because of that, Paul basically said to Elymas, you're going to be in trouble here. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent blindness on Elymas. And Elymas went around trying to find somebody to lead him. Nobody liked him, but they were afraid of him. And he was trying to prevent people from obeying the gospel. The empty pew will not and cannot have a positive influence on the lost. You know, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine. It can't shine if you hide it. If you put it under the peck measure, if you put it under the bushel, it cannot shine if it's not there to give light. The empty pew says to the non-Christian, it is not really all that important what you do, what the Bible says. You know, we could easily turn this around and say, parents, your example is what's important. And if you show to your kids that church is not really that important, when they grow up, what are they going to think? Well, they're going to think the same thing. The empty pew teaches others that it is okay to ignore Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 26. We have a responsibility. Look at there real quick. And here's the reason we come together, verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully and receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. I mean, that's important. We have to keep these things under consideration. And the point is, if you can ignore any part of the Bible, then you can ignore it all. That's like people say, if there one verse is wrong, if one verse is error in the Bible, you have to throw the whole thing away. But see, there it's not there. No, there's people who argue with the Bible and complain about the Bible, but the Bible is still there. The Bible is still the Word of God. And that's what we have to teach. That's what we're supposed to teach. We're not popular when we do that. Believe me. You tell your friends that, okay, you're about to lose your soul because right now you're destined on the pathway to hell. Well, they don't like hearing that. So they'll shut you out. They'll build some walls and I don't want to listen to you anymore. And we know that happens. But if you go on being the faithful Christian you're supposed to be, you're letting your light shine, you're going to allow these people to see what true Christianity is about, and that's what they should be desiring. See, the empty pew is an encouragement to the devil. Think about this. Satan wants us to be lost. 1 Peter 5:8, he's prowling about seeking whom he may desire. The empty pew encourages him in his efforts to keep and pull people away from God. That's what he is. Satan does not want you to go to heaven. That's the bottom line. So keep that in mind. And anything he can do, so if he can convince you it's okay not to give 100% to God and still feel okay about that, there's no problem with that. There's millions out in the denominations who are told, just believe and that's all you have to do. You don't have to go through all this repentance and baptism and stuff like that. There's millions of people out there thinking, I'm going to heaven. And they're not. Satan and his ministers have many wiles, schemes, fiery darts with which they would take advantage of us. It's all mentioned, 2 Corinthians 2:11, 11:3, and then verses 10 through 15. Satan uses everything he can. He uses it and he disguises himself as an angel of light. And so do his servants. Go back real quick. The person who would be sitting in the empty pew is telling Satan, as it were, you won't need those with me. See, God has given to us all the armor we need to stand against Satan. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. He gives us the armor that we need. The person who would be sitting in the empty pew has either never taken up the armor of God, or he or she has long since put it down. And that's what happens. You let your guard down. When you let your guard down, you take your armor off, you're susceptible to Satan. And Satan will allow you and help you to believe that everything is okay. Everything is just fine. If Satan has a trophy case, the empty pew would probably be in the most prominent position. You would think so, because every school national championship trophies go in the most prominent position. All these player of the month, all-star, I mean, they're all set off onto the side on a side trophy case. But Satan knows the empty pew is one of his greatest tools, and he keeps that very prominent. And every time your pew is empty, when it need not be, it represents a victory of Satan. See, the empty pew is a harbinger of lost souls. When you think about it, when people give up on the Lord and they don't serve the Lord, see, the empty pew doesn't make an audible sound. But if it did, that sound would probably be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because that's what the people who should be in those empty pews are going to be doing. Matthew 10:28. We know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Matthew 25 and verse 34. These people prepared themselves, the virgins. They prepared themselves. They were ready. They were ready when the Master came. See, those who could have filled an empty pew will be lost eternally. not because their pews were empty, but because they failed to prepare themselves for heaven. See, no one here wants you to be lost for any reason. And that's why we feel this needs to be said. Wouldn't it be sad if you were lost simply because you were disinterested enough in preparing yourself for heaven that your pew is unjustifiably empty much of the time? See, we encourage you to put forth a greater effort in your attendance. And we have some empty pews because some have moved away, some have just stopped attending, or they've passed away. But we need to work together to fill those pews and get people active for the Lord once again. We need to do this. It's important because whether you may not feel like it, but the rest of us actually like your company. We like you being here. We like to shake your hand. We like to spend time with you. We would like to spend a whole lot more time with you. Because let's face it, we're the greatest people in the world. I mean, we are. Christians are the greatest people in this world. And to decide that you don't want to be around other Christians, what does that tell God? What does that tell the rest of us? So the empty pew is definitely a discouragement. Consider those thoughts. We need to fill these pews with souls. We do that by teaching them the gospel plan of salvation, to hear the gospel and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's what he wants us to do. And if we've done that, we are to be living faithfully. And when you talk about faithfulness, how do you describe faithfulness? Faithfulness is really described by constancy. It really is. Imagine a man marries a woman and he only goes home one night a week. The rest of the night he's out somewhere else. She doesn't know where, but he comes in and she's just thrilled to death to see him. Or imagine a person who's absent for 3 or 4 months and walks in and say, "Where's dinner?" Now, you know full well that wife is not going to say, "Oh, let me fix it for you." If we put this into just some common sense application, when you absent yourself from the rest of us, you are missed. We miss you. And we can only assume that God misses you as well. Like I said, it's not popular, and that's all I'm going to say about it. We are going to offer an invitation if someone feels the need. They need to make some corrections in their life to obey the gospel or to get back and right with God. We're going to offer you that opportunity while together we stand and sing.